time now for Larry Weber to join us by phone. Larry, who is from Carlton County, is he survived.
Yeah, it's very interesting. You know, it seems like more than a week ago since we last spoke because so much has happened. But, yeah, Mother Nature really showed us who's the boss. I stepped out on the morning of Wednesday. That was the solstice. I stepped out in the morning to take a look at the rain gauge. And we had rain during the night, and I knew it was pretty hard rain, but I wasn't expecting a rain gauge to be entirely filled. And that's what it was. We had 5.5 inches in our rain gauge, and adding the amount, the inch that we had the day before, and about another 3/4 later that day, came to be about 7.5 inches. And I thought, wow, that is a tremendous amount of rain in 24 hours. Well, I started looking around and listening, and I found out that many of them had considerably more than that. And the word flood isn't talked about very often in our region, but boy, that has been the number one word of late. All the communities around us, that includes Moose Lake, Barnum, Renshaw, Carlton, Cloquet, and of course Duluth, all had an amazing amount of floods. And there are people who were evacuated, and they are still evacuated. They won't be getting back for a little while yet. The biggest river near us is the St. Louis River. Now, where I live, we are drained by a different river, but most of them is the St. Louis River, and the St. Louis River has taken in an immense amount of volume of water and is very high right now, so much so that all the dams along the river had to be opened. There's a number of dams for electric power, and they had to be opened so that the water didn't flood behind the dam, and of course that meant floods downstream, and so either way there was going to be some issue. The river not far from our house is 1 mile from our house, so we can step out of the door and we can hear it roaring from a mile away. I have never seen that river, which is kind of a small river called the Black Hoof, I have never seen it running like it is now. So, wow, did we get hit. Now, there is always positive things. I was very impressed with how much the lake had gone up. And then the number of ponds. We live, where we live, we've had ponds on our property that about 10 years ago began to shrink. And ever since about the year 2000, we have never really had a year of above normal precipitation. Most of them have been considerably lower than normal precipitation. So the ponds have continued to shrink. Many of them only about one-tenth of what they were earlier. As a matter of fact, some of them went completely dry. Well, now, I took a walk a couple days ago, and they are all back to the earlier time, and I think that is a real positive thing. However, if you see all the floods and all the road closures and the roads being washed out, and I'm sure you saw the pictures of the cars dropping through the holes and the kid being swept through the culvert and all that kind of stuff, that doesn't look very good. Mm-hmm. But there is a positive thing to this. I'm just going to throw in one more statistic, because I think it, or two more statistics. Okay, first one is from the 20th of May to the 20th of June, that's a 30-day period, we got 20 inches of rain. So wow. It's easy to remember the 2020. The statistic is that as of yesterday, now we're in a rain right now, so it may be changed again, but as of yesterday, the precipitation for the entire year from January 1 up until now was twice normal. Wow, that is really interesting.
We haven't heard that for years.
Yeah, way back in January, you may have recalled some of the comments I mentioned about a possibility of the ponds being too low because we didn't get much snow. But, Mother Nature must have been listening and brought about a change. The frogs seem to be happy. They've been calling a great deal. Other critters of note that have been happy, I've been seeing the herons, the kingfishers, other birds along the water. Turtles seem to be handling it quite well, so not everybody has suffered in the rain. Other critters of note, we are getting some bird migration is finished, but we're getting some bird fledging. They make nests, they lay the eggs, they raise the babies, the nestlings then become fledglings, and the fledglings are when they leave the nest, They start to grow the bigger feathers and so forth, and they still pretty much hang around the parents. And several examples of this past week of squawking young hanging around the parents, trying to get as much food they can from parents. This morning I saw a whole flock of starlings that was following the adult. Yesterday it was a squawking raven that was in the woods near us. So there's a good deal of that goes on now. I am sure the floods have destroyed some nests. It's hard to believe they would not have. And so we are getting a lot of bird song, and usually what that means, bird song, when you get it later into June, is that there's going to be an attempt at a second nesting. And we'll see what that has to do in coming weeks. Other things of note, the insects continue to show up and continue to come out. I mentioned last time about the summer insects being the fireflies and the cicadas. This week I had an interesting situation. I team taught a class, and we were near the campus at UMD, and we came across a fascinating insect called the ichneumon wasp. Now, most people, you say the word wasp, and immediately they think in terms of stinging. Mm-hmm. These don't sting. They're parasitic, but they're just an incredible insect. They are huge. The whole body is probably 5 inches long at least. Mm. And the reason they're so long is because they have this extremely long tube, ovipositor, coming out of their tail end. Now, what they'll do with that is they'll stick it right down into wood. And we had a whole class be able to see this in action, where this critter was right there sticking its ovipositor down into solid wood and laying its eggs down deep in the wood. Now, another fascinating part of it is they don't lay the eggs in the wood. They lay the eggs in a larva of another insect that's in that wood. Now, how do they do those things? They haven't told us. And they're a pretty amazing insect, but we had a chance to see those. And then, you know, we have had a lot of cloudy days, but as soon as the sun came out in the last couple of days, wow, did we have a variety of butterflies. I found about 20 kinds of butterflies in the last 2 days, and then large numbers of dragonflies as well. Now, once again, when you start talking in terms of insects, people right away start thinking about mosquitoes, and I'm sure the extra amount of water we're going to have is going to be a great breeding territory for the mosquitoes. But let's don't forget that dragonflies feed on mosquitoes, mm-hmm. So there's that aspect as well. Last time I also talked about how, as we're getting into summer, that we're going to start seeing some summer wildflowers, and I mentioned a few of them. Well, I have two in the last 2 days that I saw. The first black-eyed Susan started to bloom. I saw it the day before yesterday. And then yesterday I saw the first evening primrose in bloom. Evening primrose is one of the few flowers we have that opens in the evening and blooms at night. And then they will close up in the morning. And if you're up early in the morning, you'll still see them open. If you think about it for a bit, they can only succeed when they're in the summer during the warmer weather, because that's when the nights are going to be warm enough that there's going to be a good flight of moths. And that's what they try to attract. When a lot of the butterflies, a lot of the flowers we have here try to attract butterflies and bees, the evening primrose goes for the moths at night. Also of note, I've been talking earlier about the yellow pond lilies are in bloom. Well, we now have the white water lilies that are in bloom. The berry season has begun. I was out picking at a farm, picking strawberries yesterday, and though the rain is impacting it, there are still berries there. And if you think about it, this is a pretty early date for picking strawberries, but everything else is early. And then this morning, I saw the first elderberries in bloom. There is raspberries, blackberries, and thimbleberries all flowering, and they're flowering in really big numbers. So I'm hoping to have later in the summer some good berries from them. And then this week I saw a lot of the blueberries and Juneberries that are developing as well. And then any time we have rain, we are going to have a fungus. And mushroom season has begun. I mentioned last time about oyster fungus. Well, since then, I found a couple more kinds of mushrooms. And then a few days ago, I found something called the coral fungus. coral fungus looks like a little tree, kind of shaped like a little tree. They're called coral because somebody thought they also look like coral, as in a coral reef.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they grow on down logs and so forth, and I find them always beginning of the mushroom season, most likely July. But with all this rain, they were out there now in June. So, yeah, you've gotten your own rain up there. I think everybody pretty much got the rain. And who knows? We may be in for more. And whatever, it's worth enjoying. And like I said, there is a positive side to the whole thing.
Thank you, Larry.
Yeah, have a good day.
All
bye.
Right.
Thanks
bye-bye. Larry Weber joins us every Saturday morning at about 9:30 to give us the latest on what's happening outdoors. He lives in Carlton County with his wife on an old farm and always has wonderful insights.